It's the Tom Likas Show.
Driver, step out of the vehicle.
And now, here he is, Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. Here we are, once again, together again on the radio. It's you and me, and with us once again, as he is about once a year, is DUI attorney Miles Ilber. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom. Good to see you and Gary.
So all the boozers were calling in, many of them with rum right there in the cup holder. One guy had a bottle of wine. He was just pouring from the bottle.
You mean it still goes on, huh?
No matter how many years we do this, it still goes on.
Well, I guess with the economy, people need to get a little numb on the way home or wherever they're going.
It's amazing, and, you know, I keep hearing, in fact, I hear not only in your commercials, but in the news and everywhere else, I keep hearing that the laws are getting tougher. And, of course, we hear this these public service announcements that tell us officers are cracking down from coast to coast. They're cracking down. Is this making any difference in the drunk driving situation?
You know, I've read some articles where actually fatalities are down big time in California, in a large part because of the cell phone law keeping people off cell phones while they're driving. And we have and still represent many people who are pulled over based on cell phone usage. But there has been a significant drop, obviously, in fatalities all across the board in California.
And that's attributable to drunk driving laws? Or I did hear the story about the cell phone law.
Yeah, I think it's attributable to greater law enforcement. You know, more people are aware of the risks of driving under the influence. Which, by the way, there's a new law that's going into effect after the first of the year, and this is a very scary law. Anybody, whether you've had a prior DUI or not, and even somebody who's never been arrested for DUI before, especially somebody like that, that if they're driving under the influence and they kill somebody, they can be charged with murder. And this is something that's new. The way the courts have done it in the past up until now is they came up with this theory that if a person had a prior DUI and then they went to the alcohol program and they were taught the dangers of drinking and driving and then went out and killed somebody, they would end up being charged with a felony. Now, when people get their driver's licenses renewed, it's at that point in time where the DMV is warning everybody that if you're driving under the influence and you kill somebody, you can be charged with murder. So this has been a significant change in how things have been done. So, you know, it's a combination of many things, but DUI arrests, though, I think are not necessarily going down, especially with this economy. A lot more people are drinking. A lot more people are obviously drinking and driving in California.
I think a lot more people have free time because they've been given pink slips. And we've talked to people on this program who are drinking to forget or drinking because of all the bills or drinking because it's the holidays and they can't afford to buy Christmas presents or whatever.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And we've been getting a lot of calls, especially over the last couple of months, you know, noticeably from people who are arrested for DUI. There's somewhat of a panic now because what you just said, there's a lot of free time. People are out of work. Those people who are not out of work are even more concerned about their jobs than they have been in the past because we've always heard, you know, cops say you should take your lumps. You know, other organizations and groups, you know, if you're arrested, you should plead guilty and just go through the system. And big deal, it's just a DUI. Well, now, corporations and companies will be looking for any particular type of reason to let somebody go, more so, I think, than before.
I'm real curious about something because I know you've handled all kinds of cases. And I know people, of course, there are some companies that have just cut their Christmas parties down to zero or next to zero. There are others that still have Christmas parties because they think in an economy like this, it's important to cheer up the troops. But I'm curious. You know, it's interesting to me how many companies provide unlimited free booze. Frequently, because they are cutting budgets, they cut back on the amount of food they offer people, making the problem even worse, exasperating the whole situation. I'm curious if you ever have a situation where someone goes to the company Christmas party because they're expected to be there. They go, they drink the company's booze. They go, they're not getting much to eat. They get in a car, they get pulled over, or worse yet, they cause some kind of property damage, or worse yet, human damage. And then on top of that, the company says, you know what? You're fired. You're not an exemplary employee. I wonder how many people get blamed for that.
Yeah, I think that's what we were talking about. That because of what's going on in the economy, the stress that companies are under right now, that if somebody's going to a party and they end up, you know, sloshing down too much or becoming, you know, goofy in the eyes of, I don't want to say other words, it rhymes with hit faced. but people have a much greater risk nowadays, especially again with what's going on in the economy. It's a big thing.
Now, every time we talk, I talk about the fact that although you perform a necessary job, and under the Constitution, everybody's entitled to a defense, but your job is controversial, and there's a lot of people. Who don't like you and don't like what you do and don't like what they believe you stand for. You're not in favor of people driving drunk and getting away with it, are you?
No, absolutely. I don't want people drunk driving on the road. I mean, you know, we all want public safety, and I'm all for public safety and law enforcement. But that's not the issue. The issue is once somebody gets arrested for driving under the influence, then they're facing a whole nother scenario. And many of our clients, I mean, probably a large portion, majority, overwhelming majority, tell us we never thought that they would be sitting in their seat and talking to us. You know, it was always somebody else. And now that they're in this situation, they have a different outlook on it because they are seeing the full force of the government potentially coming down on them. And at risk is their job, their reputation, their freedom, their home, their livelihood. I mean, everything is at stake. And so why we feel so comfortable, and I don't apologize for what I do. As a matter of fact, I'm very proud of what I do. You know, the government has DUI prosecutions based on first what I think is voodoo science. Breath testing machines, I just don't have any confidence in them. I've seen too many errors. I've seen too many inconsistencies to feel that they're reliable. From the other point of view, when the cops do their investigation, these are the only tools that they have, the field sobriety exercises. We've talked about this before. One of them, just to give you an example, where a person closes their eyes, they stick their index fingers out, and they're directed to touch the tip of their finger to the tip of their nose 6 times in different sequence. I have never seen anybody driving down the road with their eyes closed, taking their index fingers and touching the tip of their nose. Walk the line. That's another example. People are very nervous when and, you know, and we're getting older. So, you know, or not you so much, Tom, but, you know. And Gary's not at that stage yet. But, you know, this morning I got up, my ankle was stiff. I don't know why, but, you know, things are you know, at a certain age, the body starts to work differently. And if you're a gymnast and you can do these exercises, then it's a lot easier. But for the rest of us, it's very difficult to do these exercises, and especially more difficult under the stress of being taken out of your car and ordered to do things by a stranger who happens to be a police officer and do it to the officer's satisfaction.
Let's talk a little bit about what the penalties are these days in California for a DUI. And is the blood alcohol, I keep hearing the blood alcohol content to be declared guilty of a DUI will be going down again at some point, or they're talking about it, or what's happening with that?
No, I don't believe it. I think that we are, across the board, the entire country is a .08. And, again, I tip my hat to some of these organizations who know how to lobby effectively to get Congress to require the states to lower the drinking, the alcohol, level to a .08. Across the board. Otherwise, they were going to withhold state funding. So I don't think that at this juncture, especially with the economy the way it is, that it's going to go any lower.
If they really wanted to stop drunk driving, wouldn't they have tougher laws than they have? When I say tougher, and we talked about this earlier, wouldn't they have laws that say things like, you know, first violation, mandatory loss of your license for a year. Second violation, mandatory 5 years in jail. Third violation, 25 years in prison without possibility of I mean, wouldn't they make the laws really tough instead of nickel and diming everybody on alcohol re-education programs and court fees? Which, come on, we all know that's the real reason they don't have tougher laws. Because you see these stories about people who've had 3 DUIs, 4 DUIs, 7 DUIs, and in some states you see guys with 16 DUIs and they're up there again. Now, come on. If you really wanted to stop this, there'd be a cap on that.
You know, I think that the only way it's going to stop people from drinking and driving is you just get rid of alcohol, prohibition. I think that's the only thing that's going to do it. As far as the penalties go, the overwhelming majority of people get arrested for DUI are first-time offenders and never repeat. So, you know, that's the majority of people that's getting caught up in this web of repeat offenders like you're talking about. I'm not so sure that it would actually be feasible to have such draconian punishments for, you know, second, third, and fourth offenders. Now, having said that, in California, your fourth offense within 10 years is going to be a felony. In other states, and I think it's Alabama or Arkansas, one of those A states, if you have your third or fourth lifetime, it's a felony. So California is moving in that direction. It used to be 5 years, a repeat offense within 5 years, then 7 years. Then a few years ago, they changed it to 10 years. But there was a strong movement to make it lifetime. So I guess a legislature or some people in the legislature thought that was too draconian, so they compromised on 10 years. But I think eventually, and we're telling our clients at the very beginning, that if they're convicted of this DUI, that right now, it would stay on a record for 10 years, but eventually, I believe it's going to go to lifetime. And I'm 100% convinced of that.
I guess Miles L. Berman, he is a drunk driving attorney, and he defends people who are accused of DUI. That's what he does. Of course, everybody, no matter what their opinion is of what he does, everybody eventually will want to remember his phone number at that point in time, because guess what? Even the people who think that what he does is wrong, if somehow they got caught, maybe you took NyQuil before you went out or you did some, who knows what you did. The point is, you can sit there and wag your finger, but someday you may just need to talk to somebody like Miles. By the same token, there are people who get angry. We'll talk to all comers here at 1-800-5800-TOM. It's 1-800-5800-866. And during the holiday season, what better time to talk about drunk driving, for God's sake?
Tom Likas. 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. The Tom Likas Show.
Here we are, 97.1 FM Talk, Tom Likas, now with the shortest commercial breaks we've ever had, ever. Here is Saturday, 2 to 6 here on 97.1 FM Talk. Sunday, the tasting room with Tom Likas, 5 till 7. So we're on 7 days a week, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not! Right. Now we are here with DUI attorney Miles Berman. And your telephone calls at 1-800-5800-TOM. Tim on the Tom Likas Show, hello.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, you know, I'm a police officer, and it's just blows my mind that, you know, I know that people have the right to fair trial and stuff, but the amount of people that get out of DUIs just because of technicalities just blows my mind.
Well, you know, I don't... I don't agree that when somebody's found not guilty, that's a technicality. I don't agree that if a police officer doesn't follow the law, that that's a technicality. I don't agree that if the state's expert can't correlate what the alcohol level was at the time of driving, is a technicality. What are you talking about as a technicality?
Well, you know, just they'll get out of it because of probable cause to get pulled over.
Probable cause. Our Constitution is founded on the principle that somebody shouldn't be arrested without probable cause. How can you describe the Constitution as a technicality is mind-boggling.
Well, and I'm not disagreeing with you on that. It, the thing is it just, you'll see guys that are blatantly drunk, they can't pass their field sobriety test, they blow over a .08, and they get out of it.
Well, first of all, you believe that the breath tests are 100% accurate. And I just don't agree with that. As far as a field sobriety test, just because somebody has booze on their breath doesn't mean that they don't do it to your satisfaction because of the booze. It could also mean, and most likely does mean, that it's caused by nervousness and unfamiliarity with the area or these exercises. You're not with the CHP, are you? I guess he's gone.
He is gone. Look at that. 1-800-5800-TOM. That's our telephone number. Justin on the Tom Likas show for Miles L. Berman. Hello.
Am I on?
I just said you on.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I had a friend, Brian. He doesn't even drink at all. This dude does not let booze touch his lips because his dad had an alcohol problem. And him and I were hanging out one night. He was sick. And I heard you mention the thing about the NyQuil because he had taken some NyQuil. And him and I were going to go get something to eat. And he was looking for his lighter or something like that. He was going to smoke a cigarette. And he swerved a little bit. And we got pulled over. Cop immediately bent us over, asked him, has he been drinking? And he says, no, I haven't drank anything. And he says that, why are your eyes red? And he's all, well, I'm sick. And he's all, well, why does it smell funny? And he's like, well, I took some medicine. And he's all, can you come out, step out of the car for me, please? And he continues to go through the whole sobriety thing. I'm sitting there watching the whole thing, and I'm like, officer, I've been with him the entire night. He hasn't even touched a booth. And I don't, like, they were even going to go to court. My friend had called me and told me that they're going to go to court, and the cop never showed up, and they dismissed the case. But I was wondering, can they actually get you on taking NyQuil?
Well, first of all, you experienced through your friend somebody arrested who got arrested for DUI, who didn't even have any alcohol. So, can they do it?
Wait a minute,
sure.
Wait. Now, NyQuil is 20% alcohol, well, so okay, it's 40 proof.
You got me there, Tom.
I mean, he did have alcohol. But he didn't
right.
know it. He was going to take a
coffee. He didn't have an alcoholic beverage. He was taking NyQuil. Had he not had the courage to fight the case, then, yes, he could end up being convicted. But we represent many people who are arrested for driving under the influence, but not alcohol. It could be drugs or something else. But the problem is that the police, their job is to get who they think is a danger off the road and let the court take its course. But they are so jaded because oftentimes, people deny that they're drinking or had anything to drink or had a couple of beers or, a couple of drinks. And, they're just very suspect. So they're going to err on the side of arresting somebody and bringing them in. But the force of the prosecution, the full force of the government, can be overwhelming.
Thank you, Justin, for the call. It's 1-800-5800-TOM. Robert on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
I have a quick DUI question. About 8 years ago, I was driving my girlfriend home. It was a rainy night. Dropped her off. On my way home, I lost control of my car, drove off the freeway, and I had been drinking. I left the scene. I ran to her house, and then when I got back about a half hour later, the cops were there, and then they arrested me. But I was always curious as to if I could have got out of that.
I guess you didn't have my phone number, 888-4-TOP-GUN, back at that point in time. But you may want to keep it. God forbid something like that should happen again. In any case, I forgot the question.
I drove my car. I drove my car off the freeway, and it was raining, so I ran to her house because no one saw me. I was in a ditch off the freeway. No one could see my car.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is that the prosecution has to prove that you were driving the car independent of any statements that you may have made. So, yeah, they can do the investigation. It depends on who says what to who. So if you say you were driving, if your girlfriend says that you were driving, yeah, they can put the case on you.
Now, besides calling you, and I know that's what you'd like everyone to do, what should people do when they get pulled over or not do?
Well, I'll tell people that, and I've always been saying this, if you're older than 21, absolutely refuse to take the portable breath test before you are arrested. It's completely voluntary. Field sobriety tests are completely voluntary. You don't have to do them. You don't have to tell the officer where you're coming from or where you're going to. I mean, you can stand on your rights. Once you are...
Is it possible that would make the officer more suspicious and make him ask more questions?
I think it's very possible, but if you think about it and you believe in a system like I do, if the officer doesn't have enough evidence to arrest you, then either the arrest itself can be thrown out, or more than likely, the prosecution won't have sufficient evidence to convict. So, you know, it's up to the government to prove their case and prove beyond a reasonable doubt if they can. So, yeah, the officer may get upset, but you may be going to jail anyway. So, you know, it's a judgment call that people have to make at the time.
More of your telephone calls for DUI attorney Miles L. Berman coming up.
Tom. 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. The Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show on 97.1 FM Talk here with DUI attorney Miles L. Berman, and your telephone calls here at 1-800-5800-TOM. We're ripping through these phone calls here. Casey on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm okay.
Got a question. I heard this rumor that they have these, they're like eucalyptus mints from, it's somewhere, like, I think it might be from Australia, I don't know. But they reverse the effects that the breathalyzer has on the on your breath. So it comes out as if you haven't been drinking.
I find that hard to believe because the way the breath test machines work, they actually measure the carbon hydrogen bond within the alcohol molecule. So that's what's in the in the breath. So I can't scientifically rationalize how anything could counteract, you know, that type of measurement. Even though I don't believe the measurements are accurate. Now it may somehow counteract the breath, the smell, the odor of alcohol, but I'm not so sure that'll work either. So I wouldn't rely on that.
Okay. Do you think that there's, what do you think I should do to research it?
I guess you can search Google and put in the what you heard and see what comes up.
We should point out that Casey is 19 years old and is not legally supposed to be drinking at all.
Yeah, I don't do it. I was just wondering.
Yeah, you were just...
I was just wondering.
You don't do it yet, but I know that's where you're heading, for God's sake. 1-800-5800-TOM, that's our telephone number. It's Dave on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Dave.
Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Hello?
I've already said thank you three times, and you're still ditzing around with me here.
Sorry about that. I lost you there for a second. I have a question and a comment. First of all, I've had two DUIs. Both were in Northern California. The first one, I refused the breathalyzer. I had heard before to refuse the breathalyzer. So on the first one, I refused the breathalyzer test, and it actually went really well for me. They booked and released me within about an hour, and I got off with that one with the wet and reckless. About 8 years later, I got pulled over again, and I was leaving a bar, and I got pulled over maybe about three blocks away from the bar, and the police officer followed me from the bar. He seen me leave the bar, followed me from the bar. I failed to use my right turn signal, and at that point, he pulled me over. Well, I got a lawyer on that one as well, and I was able to get that, even though it was my second, I was able to get that reduced to a wet and reckless. My question is because of the fact that the police officer seen me leave the bar and he followed me from the bar, could I have fought that one even more and possibly got it off my record?
Well, you haven't given me enough facts to make that decision. Based on the way you put it. However, there's always ways to attack a DUI case, and it's not just, you know, the officer following you. And by the way, I have a new interactive video website at TopGunDUI.com. And on the website, you'll be able to navigate and find I have DUI cop hideouts in Southern California, because you had mentioned that the cop stopped you after you left the bar, and also Southern California DUI checkpoints. And I have police agencies sending me emails responding and submitting information where checkpoints are being held. So I'm pretty confident that when I get them from the police departments that, it's accurate. But getting back to your, just to finish up with your question, the types of defenses and the ways to attack a DUI case are virtually limitless. It's just up to the imagination and the creativity of the attorney who's handling the case.
Okay, thank you very much. I think I did pretty well. Like I said, I was able to get the second one reduced to a wet and reckless as well. So the lawyer worked.
Well, you know, if you're happy, then that's all that counts.
1-800-5800-TOM. It's Tom of the Tom Likas Show from Miles L. Berman. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Tom, I got a problem here, man. I got a little situation. I have two Christmas parties this week coming up, and I'm definitely going to be hammered, but I need to drive. I need to. That's how I get around. What do I do?
Well, you definitely have two potential problems. And, you know, knowing that there's a chance that you may get arrested, or you, worse yet, you may get into an accident, injure yourself or somebody else, you may want to bring $100 and take a cab, which a lot of people do, and even if it's $200. I mean, you know,
But I live in Los Angeles, and cabs is not too safe here when you get hammered.
I don't know about that, but I can imagine that they're safer than...
Wait a minute. Anyone has a problem with cabs, call a limo company and get a sedan to come pick you up.
I'm working on a budget, Tom. You know the economy right now.
I understand that. But what would your budget be if you got nailed for a DUI and you had to pay Miles L. Berman or anyone else to defend you and pay all the court costs and pay everything else? What about that?
True, Tom. That is absolutely true.
Now, Miles is very good at what he does, but the idea is you don't want to get into that situation in the first place.
But you're right. But I'm a party kind of dude, so.
Well, so am I.
So bring a date who doesn't drink.
What good is that?
Listening to Tom, I don't do dates.
I'm with you on that, Tom.
But it's your driver.
I'm with you on that.
Your driver
because
is a cover.
I carry a lot of cash in my pockets, and me hammered with cash, that's why I'm driving myself. Me hammered with cash. I want it to be me who takes it out of my pocket.
Well, you probably need Miles' phone number there because since you clearly are not going to answer to any of the alternatives I've given you and you're going to take that kind of chance, there's a good possibility you would get caught.
True.
Well,
How much is a DUI ticket?
You know, that all depends on the individual case and the facts and circumstances.
But ticket is the least of your worries.
Yeah, I mean, you know, insurance, if somebody's convicted of DUI, insurance alone go up $15,000 to $25,000. And we talked about, over a period of years, we talked about, you know, possibly losing your job. You know, the dangers that could occur for somebody who's drinking and driving. But God forbid something should happen, you know, 888-4-TOP-GUN, you know, keep it with you.
And that's the thing, because most people obviously are not going to hear your commercial or hear your voice at the moment they get caught.
You know, surprisingly, we're getting calls, and since we've been advertising on the station, we're getting calls from people as they're getting pulled over. We're getting calls from people who are with somebody who's getting pulled over.
Really?
And yeah, that's the effectiveness of the
station.
You can
tape those and sell them. but there's some real action there.
Well... You know, you have mentioned, before that people should take the number and write it down, and I think they absolutely do. I don't know if they put it in their cell phone, they have it there, but, we get calls almost before somebody's
actually
arrested.
Can you imagine somebody arrested and they are drunk and they're trying to remember your phone number?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if the officer...
Who's that guy I heard?
It wouldn't surprise me if the officer would remember 888-4-TOP-GUN. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I don't think he'd tell you that.
That's a different story. You know, actually, we represent a lot of police officers. And police officers also refer people to us as well. So, you know, this could happen to anybody and everybody, and it does happen to anybody and everybody. There is no particular profile of a person who gets arrested for DUI. The only thing that comes to mind is, when women get arrested for DUI, there's a common denominator, and that is that they're depressed about something. They either got jilted or something happened in their family, a tragedy in their family, and they're going to the bar to drink. And on the way home, that's when they get arrested for DUI.
These are the women you want to be at the bar. You don't want to let them get in their cars. Exactly. John Carlo on the Tom Likas Show with Miles L. Berman. Hello.
How's it going?
Going great.
Good. Good to hear. Good to hear. I got a little situation. Back in July, I got a DUI when I was walking to the bars.
Well, I think what, first of all, if your case is still pending, I mean, you heard a phone number, 888-4-TOP-GUN, you know, please feel free to give us a call tomorrow. But you were probably seen, or the police officer probably thought you were driving. You went from point A to point B and you were stopped, but you must have been driving. Were you driving before you started walking?
Well, yeah, this is what happened. I met with some friends here in downtown where I live. And we had a couple beers, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, so they had to go home. So I was like, well, I'm going to go home and then walk back to the bars. So we all left, and on the way here, they pulled over one of my buddies, which I didn't know at the time that he got pulled over. So I get home, I have a couple drinks, I take off. As I'm walking back, he's getting the sobriety test, and the cop looks at me, and he says, I'm probably about, maybe 10 yards away, 15 yards away. And you say, oh, you're that other guy. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, your story doesn't surprise me because oftentimes we do represent people who were driving earlier. They went home. And then the officer either arrived at the home or they actually, after they left their home, they went somewhere else and they were maybe mistaken for driving earlier or the car was involved in an accident. But, you know, it's not uncommon for somebody to be drinking once they get home because something happened. And then, of course, sometimes the cops come to the home at that point in time. You know, we're going to see, and especially if you're driving great distances, you're going to see signs that's going to say, call 911, report a drunk driver. They're all over the freeways. And so if somebody's driving erratically, what will happen is that the caller will call in the license plate number and the description of the car. And then all of a sudden, sometimes people actually follow the driver who they think is driving under the influence. But oftentimes the driver gets off the freeway and ends up going home. And the police now have the guy's or the lady's home address based on a driver's license, and they do an investigation there. So, you know, you have to be extra careful, extra cautious, but at the same time, it's not unusual for somebody to get pulled over not actually being observed driving by the officer.
Well, that's my next question. Do you have to be driving? Of course, D in DUI stands for driving, I thought, And I don't know how much of this is true because so much of this is anecdotal. I have heard that you don't have to be driving to get a DUI, for example. You're drinking, and then you realize, oh, my God, I'm 20 miles from home, so I'm going to go sleep in my car. And I get in my car, and I go in the back seat, and I go to sleep, and then pretty soon I see a flashlight in my face and somebody knocking on the window. Can I get a DUI just sleeping in my back seat?
You know, the answer is yes. You can get arrested. Now, whether you're convicted or not, it's a different story. But those types of cases, and we see those a lot as well, those types of cases are very heartbreaking for me because people know the dangers of drinking and driving. If you're somewhere, especially in California where there is no public transportation, and you certainly can't pull off the freeway and park your car in a strange neighborhood or go to a mall and leave your car there because, you know, you don't know if the car is going to be there in the morning. So oftentimes people pull over, they sleep it off. And they try and sleep it off, and they're being responsible. They're absolutely doing the right thing. But the problem is that they stay in the driver's seat. And so what people should do is that, and I think we also have something about this on my website as well at topgundy.com, that if you're, and I think one of the videos has this, if you're pulling over and you want to sleep it off, You take the keys out of the ignition. You put the keys in the glove box. You don't even have the keys on you. You turn, obviously, the car is off, and get in the back seat at that point in time. So it at least you don't have control of the car while the car is while the car is there. And that's what the real key is.
Now, I once heard a story about somebody who was staggering around in the vicinity of his vehicle. But had no intention of getting in the vehicle, did not get in the vehicle. He did have a car key on him, but he just happened to be on the same block as his car, and the cops saw him and arrested him on a DUI. Is that legal?
Well, it can be if, when the cops approached him, if he said he was driving and he drove the car there at a certain period of time.
Even if he wasn't drunk at the time he drove?
Well, the answer is it legal? The arrest or maybe probable cause, but that's not the real test for conviction.
And this is the part that doesn't make sense to me. It's driving under the influence,
right?
DUI, and unless you're driving a car, I don't see how anybody can be arrested for driving if they're not driving.
Because the police suspect that somebody drove the car there, and they find somebody who they think is a driver and ask the driver where you came from and. Were you driving? And if the driver says, yes, I was driving, I parked the car there a half hour ago or 15 minutes ago or 2 or 3 hours ago, and they smell like booze now, then the cops are going to conclude and the state's going to want to prosecute with the theory that the person had whatever alcohol level they have at that point in time, they can try and scientifically figure out what the alcohol level was at the earlier point in time. And so that's where the science kind of comes into play, where we refute that oftentimes. But yes, it's quite possible that even if you're not near your car or in your car or driving your car, that you still can get arrested for a DUI.
And that's the kind of thing that, that's why people need to hire an attorney. That's why people need to hire an expert. Because honestly, this stuff is way over our heads unless that's what you've been trained and that's what you understand. Because, and me, by the way, I have, for any variety of reasons, I've got 12 great attorneys under retainer at any given time, and I never skimp on that stuff because, frankly, I've never lost a dime hiring a great attorney.
Yeah, you know, you've said that, and I've actually, you know, paid attention to what you're saying as well. And yes, having the best attorney that you can have represent you is the smartest thing that you can do. You can't, you know, it's like surgery. If you have a tumor, you're not going to operate on yourself. And when people think that just because somebody's arrested for DUI means
you know what? I think people watch the People's Court and Judge Hatchett and Judge Judy, and they see these morons coming into what is supposed to look like a small claims court, and they come in and they defend themselves. I think there's morons out there who watch this stuff on TV, and then they've been accused of a serious crime like a DUI, and they think they're going to go in and do it themselves.
Yes, and actually, people who know like us, who know what we're doing, not everybody knows what they're doing in this area, but we know what we're doing and we know how to get the results. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, prosecutors and police officers, they know that we know what we're doing. That's why they refer cases to us. But when somebody's arrested for DUI, it is, just like you say, Tom, it is a serious matter and it is something that should be attended to. Excuse me. We hear on the media that don't drink and drive. And it's not against the law to drink and drive, at least as of yet so far. But people just assume that because the police are trained and because they use the breath test machines, that somehow it must be accurate. And that's just not the case.
We'll take a break and more of your telephone calls coming up with DUI attorney Miles L. Berman.
Tom Likas. 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. The Tom Likas Show. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
It's the Tom Likas Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Tim Conway Jr. coming up at the top of the hour. We're here Monday through Friday from 3 until 8 p.m. as you head home. Saturdays, 2 till 6. Sundays, the Tasting Room with Tom Likas. 5 till 7. Please don't drive and listen to the Tasting Room at the same time. I think even that could be illegal by this point. 1-800-5800-TOM. We're here with DUI attorney Miles L. Berman. And before Miles gets out of here, he'll give you his phone number. He'll give you his web address. You'll have 63 ways to get in touch with Miles. And I'm sure during the holiday season, somebody listening is going to have the unfortunate experience we're talking about. It's 1-800-5800-TOM. That's our telephone number. Let's say hello here to Freddie. Freddie on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How you doing?
Doing okay, Freddie.
This is an amazing story. I was 19, blew a .01, and I wound up fighting it. But in a court of law, I got it all taken care of. But then the DMV, because I was under the age of 21, I guess because of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, marked me as having a DUI. Now, fast forward 5.5, 6 years, now I legitimately get a DUI. Now, I go to court, I do the whole thing, I do the classes, everything's great. But in the court of law, I have one DUI. Now, in my DMV record, I have two.
Actually, you have one DUI and two administrative actions against you. Okay. So that's what you have.
Yeah.
Did you have a lawyer represent you at either time?
The first time, no, and the second time I didn't either. No, not at all.
That was a big mistake. You know, you should have had a lawyer represent you. You know, they have, especially under 21, we represent a bunch of people who get pulled over, and it's zero tolerance in the state of California.
Correct.
So it doesn't mean that just because you blew a greater than .01 that you're automatically going to lose your license for a year. And the same thing, just because you get arrested for DUI doesn't mean you're automatically going to lose your license for 4 months if you take a test, or you're going to be convicted of DUI.
Correct. No, and see, that's the thing that kind of boggled my mind was the fact that I wound up going to court and fighting it. I didn't have a lawyer, but I did fight it. But what happened, I guess the officer didn't show, or it took so long that the officer just didn't show up, and so they dropped the case. So that's why I'm saying in the court of law, I really only have one. But in terms of my DMV report, it shows that. And, in fact, you know, my insurance is just through the roof. It just caused a lot of problems in terms of, you know, when I got my legitimate DUI, typically, you know, there's like a three-month, you know, period where it's like no driving. Then you can, you know, ask for a restriction.
Yeah, I don't know of any DUIs that aren't legitimate, but, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you went through the system twice, and please, next time, you know, if something should happen to you, God forbid, hire a lawyer. Our phone number is 888-4-TOP-GUN. Our website is topgundui.com. It's a brand-new interactive video website. A lot of information there. I wish everybody a safe and sober holiday weekend and a happy and healthy new year.
Yeah.
Well, not weekend. It's not this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a couple of weeks left here. Booze it up.
Yes, we do.
Don't get caught doing something bad. All right, Tim Conway Jr. is next. We'll see you again tomorrow from 3 until 8 in the afternoon as you head home Saturday, 2 until 6.
The Tom Likas Show. KLSX. KLSX HD. Los Angeles. The home of the Adam Carolla Show mornings. And Raider football every weekend. On air at 97.1. Online at 97.1FMTalk.com.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1FMTalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.